بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا أما بعد. So I'm very happy to see you brothers again, inshallah. We're continuing in the classes of the Fiqh of Tahara, and we are on the 11th class, inshallah, today. The hadith for today is narrated by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them both, who said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا دبغ الإهاب فقد طهر أخرجه مسلم وعند الأربعة أيما إهاب دبغ. This hadith, again, is narrated by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them both. Ibn Abbas, the reason why we say them both, as you know, was Abbas, was the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, and his son was called Ibn Abbas. So may Allah be pleased with them both, because they were both the Sahabis, and his son Ibn Abbas, Abbas's son, he narrates this hadith. The meaning of the hadith is that Allah's Messenger, may Allah be pleased with him, may Allah have peace and blessings upon him, said, when the animal hide is tanned, the animal hide, ayyuma dibagh, ayyuma ihab. Ihab, it means the animal hide. When it is tanned, it becomes purified. When the animal hide is tanned, it becomes purified. In another narration, any animal hide that is tanned, it becomes purified. So this is a very important hadith. This is a very important subject regarding the animal hides or the skins or the leather. Because we find that today, leather is used in many different uses, many different usages. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they would use the leather mainly for drinking from a container. But we see here that the Prophet ﷺ, he said any animal hide that is tanned. And we find that today we use leather for wallets, for purses, for suitcases, for shoes. You buy shoes, and they have leather soles, for example. Or we have balls, right? Basketball or football, sometimes made out of leather. So jackets, you buy a jacket, it's also made out of leather. So the question that we have is, are these leather items, are they tahir or are they najis? And this is what we're going to, inshallah, discuss today. And this is something very, again, very important, because this has to do with matters of worship, what they call fard ayn. If our clothes, if we're wearing something that has impurity, or if we have a wallet, for example, if the leather is impure, then that affects the prayer. That will affect the prayer, because there has to be three types of purity in order for our prayer to be valid. There has to be purity of the badan, of the body of the person. They have to be in a state of tahara. They have to have wudu, or they have to have the ghusl, the major. They have to be free of major and minor impurity. And then you have to have the purity of the clothes. And here is where the leather that one wears is very important that they wear. They have the leather that they have is tahir. Otherwise, that will come into the ruling of one's clothes. If somebody's carrying a wallet that is meita, that is najis, then that will affect the prayer. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he prayed with his sandals on, and there was some najis in it, do you remember what happened in the hadith? Does anybody know this hadith? Right. Jibreel alayhi salam, he informed him that there was najasa on his sandals. So he took them off, and the other sahaba, they imitated the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they took off their sandals. Sure, naam. So this is what it's very important for one to make sure that they have purity on their clothing as well as on their body. And the third type of purity for the prayer? The place of sajda, right. The place where you're praying, if there's some impurity on that place, then it will affect the prayer. It will cause the prayer to not be valid. So these are some things that we learn about. And of course, the words of the Prophet ﷺ are from wahi. And the words of the Prophet ﷺ, the scholars say that wahi or revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is of two types. There's the wahi matlu. Do you know what that is? Wahi matlu? From tilawa. The wahi matlu, Brother Tariq, do you know what wahi matlu is? Wahi matlu from tilawa means Quran. We have the revelation from Allah that is like the Quran, that is the Quran that is recited. And you have wahi ghayr matlu. Wahi ghayr matlu. And you know what that is, Brother Ismail? Good. You said it correctly. The hadith in general. All of the sunnah is called wahi ghayr matlu. It is revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it's not recited. You don't recite the hadith as an act of worship, but it's also wahi. What is the proof that the hadith is wahi from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Right. In huwa illa wahyun yuha wa ma yantiqu anil hawa. He doesn't recite, he doesn't speak from his own whims and desires, but everything he says, it is a wahi from Allah azza wa jalla. So when we hear his words, when we read his ahadith, we're taking directly from the wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very big, is very beneficial, inshallah, for us to learn his words and to learn the beneficial knowledge based upon these words. Okay, so now we go to the subject of the hadith, which is that if we have animal skins, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, any animal skin that is tanned, it becomes pure. But animal skins in general, they fall into two categories, or two types of animal skin. You have the animal skin that is of an animal that has been slaughtered, and its meat is halal to eat. So what is the ruling on the skin of an animal that one has slaughtered? It's tahir, it's pure automatically. You don't have to do any tanning, you don't have to do anything. The skin is pure because the animal, when you do the slaughtering, every part of the animal becomes pure. Everything becomes halal, even the skin. So for example, a chicken, you slaughter the chicken, the skin on the chicken is pure. If you take a sheep and you slaughter the sheep, then you can use that, the skin of the sheep, and it's pure. Or a cow, or a camel, or any other animal. By slaughtering it, the skin becomes tahir, and it becomes pure. So this is one type of animal skin. And this type we're not going to talk about, because we already know that it's pure, and there's no need to go into the discussion of whether tanning it purifies it or not. That's not important to us. But what is important to us is the skin of an animal that has not been slaughtered properly, the maita. And this is of particular importance in the West, because the majority of the animal skins and the leather products that we buy, where are they made? Made in China, right? You see that printed on all of them. And of course, when the Chinese person slaughters an animal, does it become pure? Is it allowed to eat an animal that a Chinese person or a Buddhist person slaughtered? Is it allowed to eat the meat? This is not allowed. This is not permissible. So the question now is, we have animals that have been slaughtered, but they are not slaughtered Islamically. So they're not tahir. The animal is a maita. It's considered a dead animal. Its meat is haram, and the skin of the animal is not permissible. The skin of an animal that has not been slaughtered Islamically, it takes on the ruling of the meat. So once the animal has been slaughtered, and the animal has not been slaughtered Islamically, either it died or you found a dead animal, or was slaughtered by a Majusi fire worshipper or a Buddhist, then what happens to that skin? The skin is considered the same ruling as the meat. It's najis, it's impure. So now we have an issue. We have a problem that we have to deal with, which is that the majority of the skins that we buy, or the leather products that we buy, they are from China, and they have not been slaughtered properly. So they are intrinsically, or essentially, they're impure. Now that is a question that we have to deal with. Can those skins become purified? And how do they become purified, if they can? And this is what the Prophet ﷺ is teaching us through this hadith. He's teaching us that the skin of an animal, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا دُبِغَ الْإِهَابُ فَقَدْ طَهُرْ. Either, if, dubigha means to tan. Tanning, al-ihab is any skin, animal skin, before it has been tanned. It's called ihab. Faqad tahur. So then it has become purified. It has become purified. This is the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ. He's giving us the knowledge about something that a person would not know normally. That when a skin, an animal skin, is impure, if it is tanned, then it becomes purified. إِذَا دُبِغَ الْإِهَابُ فَقَدْ طَهُرُ. You take any skin. You take a, say there's a cow that was slaughtered in China. And so the meat is meita and the skin is also meita. Now they make from that, they take that skin and they tan it, and then they sell it, into make it into a jacket, and they ship it to the US or to any other country. Has that skin become purified? This is the subject that we're talking about and what this hadith is talking about. And this hadith, it tells us that indeed, the skin that is tanned, it becomes tahir, it becomes pure, if it is tanned. However, this only applies to the animals that are, the meat is eaten. The meat is edible. The animal, its meat is edible. But what about, so if we take a chicken or a cow or a camel or any of these animals that are normally eaten, if it's slaughtered or it dies and then you tan the skin, then it becomes purified. It becomes purified in that case. And this is what the Prophet said, أَيُّمَا إِهَاب. He said, any ihab, any skin, it becomes tahir, it becomes purified. But there's a disagreement about the word al-ihab. The ulama, the four madhahib, they have a difference of agreement about al-ihab. Al in Arabic, this is, whenever you say al, like al-insan, it refers to all of those people, all of, al, this is called al lil-istighraq lil-jins. Al, the skin, it refers to all skins. So the Prophet ﷺ, he's saying, the skin, if it is tanned, it becomes purified. The hide. So the al here, it's referring to, it's general. He didn't say that the cow skin or the skin of a sheep. He said, al-ihab, any skin, once you purify it, once you tan it, it becomes tahir, becomes pure. So this is what the Zahiriya school, the school of the Zahiriyya and the school of Abu Yusuf. Abu Yusuf, he was the companion of Abu Hanifa, one of his devoted students, may Allah have mercy on them both. He was of the opinion, as well as the Zahiri school, that here, al-ihab, ihab again, it means animal skin, it refers to every type of animal skin that there is. Whether it's a pig, whether it's a lion, whether it's a dog, doesn't matter. Because the hadith says, al-ihab, إِذَا دُبِغَ الْإِهَابُ فَقَدْ طَهُرُ. If the skin of an animal is tanned, it has become pure. So he said, that's it. Abu Yusuf and the Zahiri school, they said, every animal skin that is tanned, it becomes pure. That includes the pig, according to these ulama, the Zahiri school. And so that is an opinion that some people may rely upon when they buy the leather, and they can look at this opinion and say that even the pig skin is allowed. Because if you buy, sometimes you buy leather and it doesn't tell you what type of leather it is. It doesn't say this is cow hide, it just says leather. So the gloves, it might be made out of, it might have been made out of pig skin. So according to Abu Yusuf and the Zahiri school, you're safe. Because the hadith is general in its understanding, in its meaning. But if you look at Abu Hanifa himself, Abu Hanifa, he said no. He said the pig cannot be purified. Its skin cannot be purified. But Abu Yusuf said, the hadith says, al-ihab, all ihab. Abu Hanifa, he said, I agree with you. Al-ihab, the hadith is general, but there's another stronger text, which is the Qur'an. The Qur'an, it refers to the skin of a pig, and it says that it's najis. The Qur'an, it says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ وَالْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ. And then it says, it is rijis. Rijis in Arabic, it means something that is impure. It is something that is filthy. Rijis. It's a stronger word than najis. It is impure. So Abu Hanifa, he said, yes, the hadith, it refers to purifying the skins. You can purify it by tanning, but we have to exclude the pig. So according to Abu Hanifa, the pig is not allowed. It doesn't become purified. So if somebody has a wallet that's made out of pigskin, his prayer would not be valid in that case. Or any product that he's wearing, if it's made out of pigskin, it's not valid. And this is also the opinion of the Shafi'i school. Imam Shafi agrees with Abu Hanifa that the pig cannot be purified, and he adds the dog as well. So he said that if you have the dog skin, then the dog skin will also not be purified. So this is the majority opinion amongst the four madahir, that the pig cannot be purified. You have the Zahiri school, and you have the opinion of Abu Yusuf that allows the purification of the pig. So I once had I know somebody, he went to buy some shoes, and he was worried about whether it's pig or not. But he was from an Arabic country, so he couldn't say the P, he would say B. So he said to the salesman, "Is this big?" So the salesman said, "No, it's medium." "It's not big?" He wanted to say, "Is it pig?" He said, "No, it's medium." So he was worried about whether he was going to get a pig skin shoe. But if a person does buy the shoe and it's not labeled, what should he do in this case? Does he have to, trouble himself so much? Alhamdulillah, this is the beauty of the differences of opinion. If all of the ulama, they had the opinion of Abu Hanifa, you see how much haraj, how much difficulty it would be. Anytime you buy any type of leather, the majority of them are not labeled. So it would create haraj and hardship on the Muslims. But alhamdulillah, because of this, the beauty of differences of opinion, then this creates an easiness for us. And that even if somebody does have that, they did buy some shoes, for example, and they might have spent a lot of money on a jacket, for example, and they cannot find out if it is pig or not, then there is a rukhsa. And the ulama, they allow the taking of an opinion from a weaker school in the case of necessity. Right? If a person, they come to a hardship, they're traveling, and you're very strict Hanafi, like Brother Ismail. So you're in the middle of the road, and the time for Dhuhr is about to go out. And he's in the middle of the highway, and there's nowhere to stop, nowhere to make wudu, and he doesn't know what to do. So in this case, in the case of Durura, he can say, "I will make taqleed of the Shafi'i school, even though my Hanafi teachers will beat me up." And then he can go and join his Dhuhr with his Asr Salah, right? And any time in the Asr prayer time. So this is the beauty of seeing the differences of opinion amongst the ulama. This is something that is part of the Sharia. And this is why some of the Salaf, Salih, they said, "Ikhtilaf al-ulama rahmah." Sometimes I heard, like my dad, he always says, "Is there anything the ulama agree on?" He likes to have one opinion on everything. "Is there anything they agree on?" So I told him, this is a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they agreed on something, then it would only be one way. And there would be no flexibility in the Sharia. But the differences of opinion is a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's something that helps us in times of difficulty, in times of hardship. Right? So this is something beautiful, inshaAllah. And so this is what we see. Abu Hanifa again, he says that the pig cannot be purified. Imam Shafi, does he agree with Abu Hanifa? Yes, he agrees with him. And he, what else does he include with the pig? The dog skin, subhanAllah. The dog skin cannot be purified. And it's not allowed to use the dog skin according to Imam Shafi. Now, okay, is that clear? Is there any questions? Yes?
The ayah that you said when you talks about lamb.
Good question. The Abu Hanifa, what he says is that the pig, when we were referring to the lahm al-khinzir, he said that the pig, according to all the ulama, is najis, even when it's alive. Even when it's alive. Anything from the pig. Lahm is mentioned because that's the thing that's most often used from the pig. But even the skin or any other part of the pig is also rijis. But Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentions the lahm, and see, some people, they try to say that maybe we can use the fat of the pig. But the ulama, they say that this is called kharaja makhraj al-ghalib. Sometimes you mention something because it's the most common thing that's done. So you mention that, but you include everything else. For example, وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Do not say to your parents, "Uff." Right? Because this is what most people, when they get upset with their parents, they say, "Uff." But it doesn't say, "Do not beat them." So does that mean you can beat your parents or harm them? No. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentions the thing that is more common. When a child is disobedient to his parents, or he's harsh with his parents, he says, "Uf." So by saying "Uf," it includes the lesser, the other harms that are more worse than saying "Uf." And likewise, the meat of the pig, that's what's most commonly used. But any other usage is also comes under the same ruling. So here we find that Abu Hanifa, he says that it's cannot be purified. But again, the Zahiri school allows it. And Abu Yusuf, he differed with Abu Hanifa, and he said that it could become purified. No. Okay, so this hadith, and we'll just take a little bit of the next hadith. There's just a short explanation of it, and we'll finish here. Okay, وَعَنْ سَلَمَةَ إِبْنِ مُحَبِّقْ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ دِبَاغُ جُلُودِ الْمَيْتَةِ طُهُورُهَا صَحَّحُ إِبْنِ حِبَّانِ. This was narrated by that Sahabi, Salama ibn Muhabbiq. And he said that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said that the tanning of a dead animal's hide is its purification. Then Ibn Hibban, he graded this as sahih. Now here is a very interesting question. This hadith, the tanning of a dead animal's hide is its purification. But the previous hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, any hide that is tanned is purified. Any hide that is tanned, it becomes purified. Right? The previous hadith. So now, why does Ibn Hajar, may Allah have mercy on him, bring this hadith, the tanning of a dead animal hide is its purification? The first hadith, it says any hide is purified. This hadith, it says a dead animal's hide. What is the significance of pointing out that it's a dead animal hide that is purified? The reason why he mentions it is so that we know that if this hadith is clarifying the earlier hadith, that when the Prophet ﷺ, he said that the dead animal's hide is purified, this is showing that what is meant in the first hadith is also likewise a dead animal hide. Otherwise, one might think that every animal hide needs to be tanned in order to become pure. Because the previous hadith, it says, the purification of any animal hide is its tanning. So somebody might think, if I slaughtered this cow, the animal hide has to be pure, has to be tanned in order to become pure. But this hadith, it says the tanning of a dead animal specifies. It makes it clear that it's referring to the dead animal. And that's why any animal that is slaughtered in a halal way, we don't have to worry about it. Any animal, for example, any leather that you get from Pakistan, for example, or the Muslim lands, you don't have to worry about whether it was tanned or not, because it was slaughtered by a Muslim. But here, this hadith, it makes it clear that we only have to be worried about that which was dead or that was slaughtered by a Majus or a person that is not Muslim. So this is the hadith here. And may Allah give us the beneficial knowledge, inshallah. Is there any questions? With the leather, animal hides... Yes, brother.
Yeah, what about the leather of non-edible animals, like tigers or animals?
Right, yes. The majority of the ulama, they say that the only animal that cannot be purified is the pig. Mm-hmm. Right, except the Zahiri school and Imam Abu Yusuf.
Oh, yeah.
They say that every other animal can be purified, well, even if it's a tiger.
So can they be have to be in town, or...
This is a good question. Say you go to Africa on a safari or somewhere, and you see a big lion, and you hunt it, and you slaughter it. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. You slaughter the animal. Is the meat tahir?
No.
It's not allowed. So what about the skin? The skin always takes on the ruling of the meat.
Uh-huh.
This is a general rule, general principle. Whatever the ruling of the meat is, the skin has the same ruling as that. So if you find a lion or a tiger, you find a skin that has been, sometimes some people that have tiger skin in their house, that has to have been, if it was slaughtered, it's not going to purify, but it has to have been tanned. And this is where the majority of the ulama, they allow the tanning of all animals. It's with the exclusion of the pig and the dog. Those are the only...
Regardless
of who the hunter is, right. Even if you had a non-Muslim person, jazakallah khair. Even if you had a non-Muslim person who hunted the animal, as long as it's tanned, then there's no problem with that. Even if you have, for example, the cow leather, that was slaughtered by a Chinese person, if it was tanned, it becomes purified. So tanning is one of the means of purification. We talked about in the beginning, how do things become purified? Through water, through earth, through sun. Through tanning is one of the means of changing the state of something from impure into pure. This is one of the benefits, or one of the things that we learn about the tanning. Okay, and also the sister is asking, how do we know if the leather is tanned or not? Okay, this is a very good question. Is anybody here an expert in leather? The way you can tell, Allahu A'lam, what tanning means, it means removing the meat that is attached to the leather and putting some chemicals on it that removes the blood and the meat that is attached to the skin, and then is dried in the sun, and that meat and that blood goes away and it leaves the skin pure and soft without any smell or any bad smell, and the skin doesn't go bad after that. So generally speaking, if you have a skin, if it hasn't been tanned, then it would probably go bad. It would probably become smelly, and there would be some blood or something on it. It's still part of the meat attached to it. The tanning, and we'll see next week inshallah, it's the they use certain leaves and certain chemicals. Nowadays they don't use the leaves, but they use chemicals that remove the meat and the blood from the skin, and it leaves the skin pure and clean without any traces of the blood or the meat attached to it. So generally speaking, whatever you buy, if you buy a purse or you buy some shoes, it's already been tanned. It wouldn't normally be something that was not tanned. Inshallah. Any other questions? Yes, brother.
What was the evidence that Imam Shafi'i used to add dog to
this? Probably the general impurity. Imam Shafi'i, he holds and that the whole dog is najis. And I don't know if you remember, the majority of scholars, they say that it's just the saliva of the dog. The Maliki school, they say it's just the saliva, it's not najis, but you have to wash it. So Imam Shafi, his opinion is that every part of the dog is najis. I believe Abu Hanifa, he says just the mouth, just the saliva is najis. So since he's saying the whole dog is najis, even the hair, so he's saying that the skin cannot be purified either in that case. Now, it's a very good question now. So Imam Shafi, if you remember, his argument is that the mouth is the most noble part of an animal. So if the mouth is najis, then he said the rest of the body should also be impure. So that it's a type of inherent impurity that cannot be removed, according to Imam Shafi. And likewise in the pig as well. It cannot be, it's an inherent impurity. Inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so can we go to Walmart and buy leather jacket? What is the answer? This is a quiz question.
Yes, sure.
Yes? Without
except
reading... I'm sorry?
Except for his mind.
According to the Hanafi school? What madhab... Alright, let me put it this way. If you go to Walmart and you find a jacket that is not labeled, and you want to buy the jacket, and you do not know if it has been... You don't know the you don't know if it's been slaughtered properly, you don't know if it's pig or not. So... what should you do in that case?
Buy it,
huh? If it looks good and it fits, if it's on sale, right? Probably. What happens here, the scholars, they say it's better to avoid the doubtful things, right? For yourself, right? If you want to be on the safe side, right? Because you don't want to, if you want to avoid falling into the, it might have some impurity in it. If you want to be extra careful, this is called wara. You can say, I'm not going to get it. I'll look for something that says cowhide. But if you already bought it, or say somebody gave it to you as a gift, or you have something at home and you don't know what it is, then in this case, do you have to be so worried about it? In this case, maybe you can take the makhraj because of the minority opinion, right? Who said that it's pure?
Lahiri school
and? Abu Yusuf. He was a student of Abu Hanifa, but he differed with him on almost one third of his rulings and one third of his teachings. So I don't know why the Hanafi brothers are so strict. Even his own students, they differed from him. No, so they. No. They were very devoted to him, but they had a lot of differences and a lot of, they saw things a little bit differently in some issues.
I have a question.
Yes, brother. No.
Is there a way that you can, just by looking at the letter, tell what type it is? Like, somebody told me that if it has the three dot pattern, then it's fixed.
I don't. To be honest, does anybody else know? How can you tell the pig leather from the other leather? I might have heard that, but I can't. I have to confirm it. Inshallah, I can check for you. It said if it has three dots on it, that it's pig leather. Does anybody know? I have to check for you, inshallah, to be sure. But I did hear that, I think, before. No. So you're Hanafi, so you have to be extra careful. InshaAllah. Jazakumullah khair. Any other questions? Khair, inshaAllah. Jazakumullah khair. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Barakallahu fiqh. May Allah reward you very much. Jazakumullah khair.